Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Welcome inside the Radio Octagon. This is Saskatchewan's number one sports talk show, The Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
Friday's Sports Cage for Nelson Homes, supplying home packages and RTMs for over 65 years. Brendan McGuire and Ryan McNally with you from the Brandt Center on location in anticipation of tonight's Regina Pats showdown. We will have a lot of Pats talk and a lot of Pats guests on this Friday edition of the program. Also still ahead, we're going to check in with John Hodge from Three Down Nation, go over his mock draft that he put up on the website, see who he thinks the Rough Riders are going to take in the first two rounds. We will have the SJHL report from Benny Walchuk. Braxton Whitehead from the Regina Pats will join us here on location. It's Friday. Chase the Ace, also ahead on this edition of the Sports Cage. Dante DiCaria will join us on location, as will head coach of the Regina Pats, Brad Haroff. You can join in on the discussion by texting 306-936-6262 or call us toll-free at 1-866-767-0620. The text line brought to you by Capital Ford Lincoln. Follow us on social media at Sports Cage, either on Facebook or on X. In just moments, we will visit with the skip for Team Saskatchewan from the Montana's Briar that just wrapped up in this very same building. Ryan Mack, you were doing Sports Cage. Were you in the same? No, we were over closer to the Briar Patch.
Yeah, we were kind of on your way to the patch from the Brandt Center. Your first right, you literally could not miss it, even if you tried. Our setup was that big.
We're kind of on the way to the beer stand. It's just in the other direction, sort of. But we are in the front. But right now, we will go out to the Western Pizza Hotline. Very pleased to be joined by the new skip. And I say new because it was your number one, for Mike McEwen. Mike, where are you today? I assume somewhere in Manitoba?
Yeah. I'm back at home in Winnipeg.
Gotcha. Okay, well, there's been some time for the dust to settle on the week that was in Regina. I know it didn't quite have the ending that you were hoping for, but have you had time to reflect on year one in Saskatchewan and compare what it was to what you hoped it would be?
Yeah, for sure. The first kind of 48 hours were tough. It was a tough couple of days, kind of, you know, essentially feeling a little bit empty. We didn't quite get it done, kind of, you know, as a team probably took everything out of us, to get to that point. We knew it would. And yeah, just feeling a little empty. But then, you know, after a couple of days, the feeling that the feedback and just the storyline and the impressions that we made on everybody, that kind of starts to kick in, and you start to feel, you know, you feel, I guess, a little bit better about, you know, just what you accomplished, even though, you know, the final outcome wasn't perfect. But you just get a real sense of the impact that you made on the curling community, which is, you know, something that, you know, not too many athletes get to do. And we did that not by winning gold, but by, you know, by winning silver. So that impact was pretty cool to hear about and feel from just a lot of fans and even competitors alike. What they saw and witnessed. Really, really, you know, kind of grateful to get that kind of feedback, to see how it felt through other people's eyes.
Mike, Ryan here, and I'm glad you mentioned that, you know, history you did make. It's Saskatchewan's first Briar final since 1995, and, you know, you've seen it firsthand playing against some of these Saskatchewan teams. There's been a lot of good teams over the years that, you know, if it finished third or, you know, finished in that 3-4 game. So what's that? What was that experience like to, you know, get to that moment for Saskatchewan? You know, a spot that you hadn't been either before in your career, if I'm not mistaken, either.
No, and I felt really good going into the event. I had a feeling we were going to be playing on Sunday, on final Sunday. I really did. You know, the belief was strong. I had that feeling we were going to be there right at the end. And I thought, you know, with the Marsh brothers and obviously Colt Flash with, you know, all his experience and, you know, representing Saskatchewan with Team Laycock and obviously his Canadian championship out of Alberta with Team Cooey, and then having Brent and Pat on our bench, like I really did feel like it was a team that was going to be well supported by Saskatchewan curling fans. But I'll be honest, I was caught off guard in a really good way, just how much I felt that support. I felt like it was immediate that, in a sense, I thought I would have to earn it more, and it was given freely. Just that's how much Saskatchewan curling fans, I thought, you know, got behind us so quickly, something that, you know, I'm not going to take for granted. That was an experience of a lifetime for me as an athlete. I have never felt such fan connection before in my career. That was something truly special that I didn't necessarily expect would come so freely from this Brier. And I've just, like I said, it'll be a memory that will go with me forever.
Are you a CFL fan, Mike? Do you watch a lot of CFL?
I do watch CFL. I kind of, my dad forced me to watch a lot of NFL growing up, so I was a huge Minnesota Viking fan.
Terrible punishment that your grandpa would make you do that.
Mike, we like you.
I know, my dad forced me. But I do pay attention to the CFL, yes.
I was just going to say, you do realize that there were two pretty good athletes who played here in Saskatchewan, Zach Caleros and Willie Jefferson, and went down the highway to Winnipeg and have been winning championships and ramming it down our throat ever since. You do realize that you are our answer to all of that, if you can get over the hump, right? You understand that there's more at play, that maybe even more than you signed up for. In all of this, when we watch you having that experience on the ice, we all think, God, that looks so great. And you could just imagine what that would be like. And, you know, on the Monday after the loss in the championship game, I didn't hear too many fans who were upset about how the week went. Everybody felt like it was just about the perfect week. There aren't a lot of people who cheer against Brad Gushue. I feel like he was probably the number two for a lot of people. But we sometimes forget that when you are an elite competitor, like you and your teammates are, you really don't have moral victories in the moment, do you? It really takes a while for you to unpack all that.
Yeah, it does. It feels like a long competition. Like it's 10 days and the preparations starts long before that, but then final Sunday felt like a whirlwind between the semi and the final. So it did, I think, take some time to hit, especially the first 24 hours after that final. And, us as a team, we have yet to, you know, fully come together with Brent, our coach, and Pat Simmons, our fifth, to kind of unpack the week. In that, you know, we want to uncover a lot of the good things that we can carry forward to try and do this again, essentially, and maybe identify one or two things we missed. But I felt like there was just a ton of good things that we really as a unit want to document, and hopefully we can, you know, repeat this essentially in Kelowna next year.
I was just going to ask you about that. So that decision's been made. We all expected it, but there's no question that this team's going to be back together, take another crack at it next year, for sure?
I hope so. I mean, we haven't officially sat down as a unit and discussed, but you know, I think the recipe is there to continue. You know, honestly, you know, this was kind of a team where I was often it's the skip or the back end that makes the team, and this is a team that formed actually choosing me. So it's an interesting dynamic in that how it came together, but I think you know, my sense is that you know, we staked a lot of goalposts to start the season, and we've been consistently checking them off. So I'm excited to continue, and I think there's a good chance that things will go unchanged going forward. And honestly, we're sitting in a great position coming up in the players, our last event, where if we can do well, we can actually lock up a second Saskatchewan spot in the Brier next year, where we would actually be pre-qualified as a wild card Team Saskatchewan. So the first one into the event, and that would open the door for a second Saskatchewan team, which would be, you know, a different kind of look for us being pre-qualified for the Brier, the different schedule, things like that to consider. But I mean, that sounds exciting to get another provincial team into the mix. So we're going to play hard in the players in April.
And something that's never happened before either. So even more history potentially if Saskatchewan gets two teams at the Brier. That has never happened before. Of course, you know, Saskatchewan's last Brier win, 1980, back when the defending champ didn't come back as Team Canada. So, Mike, I know you mentioned over the week this team makes you feel like genuine Mike. Would you be able to elaborate on, like, kind of what that means for you?
Yeah, I think this is the, you know, one of the first times where, as a player, I've shown maybe like a full range of even emotions for that matter, but like a full range of personality, emotions, everything sort of wrapped up into one, and been really comfortable doing it. I think, you know, and then that's probably some personal growth, obviously, with me. I'm getting on. I'm 43, a little bit wiser, older, but I don't think I've ever been in a situation where I've just had, you know, guys that really understand where I'm at as a player in such a short time, 6 months with the boys, and just so accepting of the different range that I can be. So they're starting to understand where I am as a leader and a skip, and embracing that. And it's really cool to see, because, you know, I can let it go natural and genuine and lots of energy and motion and bring it back and ebb and flow. And I don't have to, you know, nothing is sort of artificial or fake. I don't have to pretend to be anything that I'm not. It's such a cool feeling. And that's one of the things, you know, we're trying to identify, is where do we as players operate in the best zone individually and supporting one another as teammates. So that's been kind of a cool thing that's come together pretty recently as a team, that they're, I just feel so free to kind of be, you know, I just don't feel like I have any sort of shackles or anything like that, which is really, really quite unique as a player. Sometimes those emotional things can get really high and out of control, but I think the guys trust me to kind of bring it back to where I need to be to kind of perform. So I think that's probably fair to say, you saw in the Brier a full range of where I am as a person, as a player.
Getting long in the tooth at 43. Listen to you. I'm in my 40s. We're just getting started, Mike. Not long in the,
you know, that's a, I say that, but I do feel, and I don't think it's a feeling. I think I can say with certainty that I am the best I've ever been as a curler, as an athlete, with experience and right now where my fundamentals are as far as like technique. I think I'm still improving. So even though I say I'm getting old at 43, I'm still getting better. And I think right now at the stage of my career, I think I'm capable of still hitting another peak.
Well, I think you proved it last week, so we don't doubt that at all. Hey, listen, before we let you go, there was a lot of discussion about the ice changing over and over. How challenging was it? Was this the most challenging tournament from the perspective of the fact that the ice, it sounds like, was never the same?
Yeah, there has been some chatter about that. It was challenging. Like, after the rock texturing on Sunday night, it was chaos on Monday. It was like, we'd had bizarro land upsets all over the place, and it took some time for things to settle out. I think I did find it challenging. Probably had to learn to adjust a little bit of strategy throughout the course of the week, depending on, you know, what how aggressive the rocks were, what surface we had. And, you know, looking back on it, if there is one tiny regret, it is that For me as a skip and ice reading, I found that the difference between the semifinal and the final, and these games are only 3 hours apart, was the ice was dramatically different. And just that one tiny bit little regret that I didn't quite manage or catch on to those changes as well as Brad did. And I thought that was, you know, the one big difference in the first half of the game, that Brad managed that so well, and where I felt I could have done a better job. But it's really hard to, you know, coach will do that classic line, you got to believe what you see. And it's pretty hard to do that when you just played on the ice a couple hours ago, and then all of a sudden it's changed, whether, you know, the building's packed, it's warmer outside, so the temperature is changing, and the ice just starts, you know, curling and moving in much different way from the semi to the final. So that's one thing that I wish, you know, the adaptation had been as quick as possible. But it's really hard coming off a semifinal where the ice was, in my mind, close to perfect. And then the final was tough. So, you know, kudos to Brad and his team for, you know, that's where their experience level, you know, is through the roof, playing in those kind of situations where things do change.
Proving that even in our 30s or in our 40s, wish I was still in my 30s, we're still learning, and you're still learning from the best, and you'll be better for it. Hey, listen, thanks for a great week. I don't think there have been too many more memorable weeks than what we had for curling last week. We had the lead on the Rick Folk team that won in 1980, Jim Wilson, and he's shocked that it's been this long, and he told us that 1 year McDonald's Tobacco was the sponsor, and they were told, you can smoke whatever you want, but when you're on the ice, you smoke our brand. And then the next year, it was a beer company, and it was beer. And that's when it hit me, I think, that how long it's been. And you've been closer than anybody. So thanks for doing this. Congratulations on a great year. I know it's a long off season. Enjoy the break, and we can't wait for next year to see what you and the Marsh Brothers and Colton Flash come up with next.
Yeah, big thanks to Saskatchewan and Regina. We made sure we hit the patch 3 or 4 times. And it was just, you know, it was just amazing. On ice and off ice, the experience was one of the best that I'll ever have in my career. And we made sure to try to take it all in and find some balance, because, you know, these kind of events in your home province don't come around too often. So, you know, just really big thanks to Saskatchewan for getting behind a Manitoba kid.
Thanks, Mike. Very well said.
Thanks.
That is Mike McEwen joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline. I don't think the Briar Patch would have been what it was without the week of Magic Mike that got people excited and coming in for it.
It really, truly wouldn't. It was something.
We'll take a quick time out. Still ahead in hour one of the program, we'll check in with John Hodge from Three Down Nation about who he thinks the Rough Riders are going to take in the first 2 rounds of the CFL draft. You're listening to The Sports Cage on Rider Radio 620 CKRM.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Time now for the sports ticker, which is brought to you by Sherwood Co-op. Sherwood Co-op will pump your fuel while you stay warm inside your car, or just pay at the pump all winter long. The Regina Pats in action tonight as they get set to face the Prince Albert Raiders. Puck drops at 7 o'clock right here at the Brandt Center. Or you can join Dante DeCaria on the 620 CKRM airwaves, starting with the pregame show at 6:30. Elsewhere in the WHL, Saskatoon faces Moose Jaw. Swift Current hosts Medicine Hat. SJHL action tonight. It's a packed schedule. 5 games on the ice. Estevan hosts Weyburn. Humboldt entertains Flin Flon. Yorkton visits Melville. LaRonge is in Nipawin. And the Battlefords are home to Kindersley. Hey, the Riders made a signing today. They added quarterback Jack Cohn. He's an undrafted free agent that signed with the Indianapolis Colts in 2022. He also had tryouts with the 49ers and Seahawks after one season in the XFL with San Antonio. Cohn played his college football with Wisconsin, but later transferred to Notre Dame, where he set the record for passing yards and touchdowns in the Fiesta Bowl in a loss to Oklahoma State. Defensive lineman Aaron Donald has announced his retirement after a standout 10-year career in the NFL with the Los Angeles Rams. The 3-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year made his surprising announcement on social media today. Donald spent his entire career with the Rams, who drafted him in the first round in 2014. He was selected for 10 Pro Bowls and 8 All-Pro first teams, and he won the award as the league's top defensive player in 2017, 2018, and 2020. He was the cornerstone of every Rams defense during his career, drawing habitual double teams away from his teammates. He still racked up 111 total sacks. That is the sports ticker for today, brought to you by Sherwood Co-op.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
It's time to step into the Radio Octagon. You're tuned to the Sports Cage on Saskatchewan Sports Radio, 620 CKRM.
Friday's Sports Cage on location from the Brandt Center for Nelson Home, supplying home packages and RTMs for over 65 years. Brendan McGuire and Ryan McNally with you, and in mere moments we will check in with John Hodge from Three Down Nation, see if we can get some kind of forecast over who the Rough Riders are going to draft in the CFL draft. Do you get into the CFL draft at all?
Not really, no. I mean, the Riders had the first pick a couple of times there where I think they took, who was it, Brent Hawkins? I think was one of the guys they took in the first overall pick, and like, yeah, you know,
flash. Never hear from again.
No, really. I mean, he had like 2 or 3 seasons and then just kind of stopped playing, right? So, yeah, you know, like you get a little excited for some of those prospects, but you just kind of hope they turn out, right? So,
yeah, I don't know. I think I lost interest when the Rough Riders took Ducarmel Augustin 1 year in the first round, and I think he was on special teams for a bit, and then another year there was a guy named Tyson St. James, and he had a pedestrian career. And I, you know, even Ron Lancaster used to say this, that it's called the Canadian Football League for a reason, because the teams with the best Canadians are the team that's going to win. And he made a big deal out of that, and I love the little general, and very rarely would I ever say anything against anything he would say, but he was dead wrong as far as I'm concerned. Yes, it's important you have CanCon because of the rules, but your star players are from the United States. You get your star players through the NAG list. most star players are somebody we've never, ever heard of, and for whatever reason, they slip through the cracks in the NFL and they come up. So I have struggled to get interested in the CFL draft, which is too bad because I want to get into the CFL draft. I think if there were more stars who came out of that, it would be easier to get into it. And luckily, our good friend John Hodge, who is now on the line, is willing to do all the work to figure out what the heck is going on in the CFL draft and what does any of this mean. John? Did you watch the Brier, the end? What did you think?
Oh, of course I watched the end of the Brier. I mean, kudos to Mike McEwen for you know, getting the upset over Matt Dunstone, getting the upset, you know, obviously in the semifinal game over a very good Brennan Botcher team. Would have been nice to see him make it to the end, but I mean, you know, Mike McEwen was banging on the door to get to a Brier for a long time, lost a lot of big games, and so it was pretty cool to see his team make it that far and win a lot of big games, obviously providing the crowd in Regina with a lot of great times. I mean, it's a shame that the drought is still on, but I'm sure that fans, despite the loss, overall had a great week celebrating the Brier in Regina.
You were actually cheering for Saskatchewan because you know that I'm just waiting to stick it up people in Manitoba's you-know-what when Mike McEwen finally wins a championship, and that's our revenge over Willie Jefferson and Zach Caleros going east.
I mean, I don't cover curling whatsoever. I exclusively watch it as a fan, so yes, I am happy to cheer for specific teams, and yeah, of course. I mean, I was cheering for Mike McEwen in the final. I mean, the alternative was cheering for Brad Gushue, and I think Brad Gushue is, you know, obviously an incredible curler and, you know, all that. But at the same time, he's won it 100 times, right, in the last just 3 years. So you can't cheer for that. You have to cheer for the underdog and the fact that Mike McEwen, again, took so long to get to the Brier and has grinded so hard to have the success that he is currently achieving. The fact that he's also from Manitoba, yeah, made it easy to cheer for Mike.
Okay, enough of all that. I want to talk about your mock draft. You put mock draft 1.0, and I know you put a copious amount of hours into figuring out who's supposed to go where. I'll start with your number one overall pick, receiver Nick Mardner. What can you tell us about him, and why do you think he's number one?
Well, he hasn't tested yet. He's going to be testing at the Auburn Pro Day the last week of March. But, I mean, this is a guy who's 6'6", weighs 205 pounds, had close to a 1,000-yard season at the University of Hawaii in 2021. And that combination of size, you know, route running, that combination of explosiveness doesn't come along all that often, right, in the CFL. And so when Edmonton is looking at their roster, there are a number of holes, but one hole that I believe is there is at the receiver spot. Yes, they traded for Curley Gittens Jr., but Curley Gittens Jr. does not fit that big, long, freak athletic frame that Chris Jones covets. Nick Mardner does. And on top of that, Curley Gittens Jr. is one of the highest paid receivers in the CFL despite coming off a down year. And on top of that, he is going into the last year of that contract. And so if I'm the Edmonton Elks, I'm going, look, I'm glad that we brought in Curley Gittens Jr. He's got that familiarity, of course, with quarterback McLeod Bethel-Thompson from their days together in Toronto. However, we need a long-term solution here. We need a more explosive athlete. We need bigger size. And we want someone who's going to come on the cheap and be under a three-year deal, which is, of course, what Nick Mardner would do. The CFL rookie minimum is $75,000. The first overall pick, I believe, can sign for about $87,000. So the production relative to the price is going to be cheap. Would I bet my house that Nick Mardner will go first overall? No. But I think that because, you know, he transferred to Cincinnati in 2022, had a middling season, and then transferred to Auburn for 2023, kind of going to progressively larger Power 5 collegiate programs. Because his production fell off, he didn't play very much for the Tigers this past year. I think the NFL will probably take a pass, which means he's the perfect fit to go number one.
And Edmonton, if I'm not mistaken, you mentioned that they have a lot of money tied up with Curley Gittens Jr. They still have a lot of money tied up with Geno Lewis, don't they? And they would need somebody making rookie dollars to maybe even start for them, wouldn't they?
Well, they've got money tied up in Eugene Lewis, though he is going last year of his mega deal. They're also paying Dylan Mitchell a lot of money, right? They gave him a big extension after, you know, near the end of the 2022 season, and then he had, frankly, a pretty disappointing 2023, right? He looked like he was on that trajectory to be like a 1,200, 1,300-yard guy, and he was a bit of an afterthought. Now, in fairness to him and the rest of Edmonton's receivers, the quarterback position was obviously a mess for at least the first third of the season and was never at the level of a number of other teams. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But I think when you look at the combination of, again, size, length, athleticism, you know, Power 5 NCAA pedigree, and then potentially, again, the NFL not coming to sniff around, I think that is a pretty slam dunk pick for Chris Jones and the Edmonton Elks, if in fact that is where they go.
Okay, so at number three, you have the Rough Riders taking a linebacker slash defensive back Malik Straker from Arkansas State. Why do you think he's such a good fit for the Rider defense under Corey Mace?
Just to clarify, so at number two, I've got Joel DeBlanco going to the Ottawa Redblacks. Do you want to talk about Joel, or do you want to talk about the Riders pick at three?
Well, I was more curious about number three, just because that's who you think would come to
sure.
the Riders.
So at number three, I've got Malik Straker there. I think that Joel DeBlanco will certainly be off the board by the time the Riders pick. I think Bartner, again, depending on NFL, I think will be off the board. If he's a CFL guy right away, I think he's a top two pick. If he's not, he probably falls further. But, you know, Malik Straker is a guy. He's not a huge frame, 5'10", about 210 pounds. But he projects to me as a potential starter at strong side linebacker in the CFL, or certainly as a safety. And I think that's a position where the Riders need some help. And I know that Ryderville has watched their quarterbacks get battered and beaten the last few seasons, and they're going, wait, where's our offensive lineman? Well, the good news is there's enough offensive linemen who are high caliber in this draft that you're going to get a good one at 12. The Riders, of course, have their second round pick there. And whether it's, you know, Gabe Wallace, whether it's Giovanni Manu, whether it's George Una, whether it's Kyle Hergel, there's going to be a good offensive lineman there. I've got Christy Nakanu out of Washington State going there right now. But regardless of who the Riders pick at three, I think there will be a good offensive lineman available at 12. So if they're not going to go O-line at three and they want a guy who's going to be in camp, who projects as a starter, I think you could do a lot worse than Malik Straker. I like Jackson Ford, who the club drafted in the second round last year. I like Jaden Dahlke. I'm not sure he's quite rangy enough to be a full-time safety, but Malik Straker, a guy who started his career at the collegiate level at the University of Carleton and played some halfback with the Ravens, has been on a three-down field before, has worked in space before. You know, he's an ultra-productive guy. 216 total tackles with the Red Wolves, 17 tackles for loss, along with a couple of picks, some pass breakdowns, all that stuff. To me, he's not somebody who will have to wait a long time before entering the starting lineup of a CFL defense.
So you seem to think that the Riders are going to take an O-lineman probably in the top two rounds. They'll get at least one. Is that a safe bet in your mind?
Well, I do think that the signing of Ryan Skevier, who is, of course, a well-tenured starter with the Calgary Stampeders at free agency, maybe takes care of some of that, you know, need in Ryderville. But that being said, I mean, this is a team that does have, obviously, some players who are a little bit on the older side. You know, Philip Blake is 38. You know, whether he's penciled into a starting lineup this season remains to be seen. I guess he is. And he's going to be expensive there, right? I don't know for a fact what he's making this year. Last year, I think he signed for about $180. So even if he took a little bit of a pay cut, he's still one of the pricier Canadian offensive linemen in the league. If I'm the Riders and I'm looking to get younger, looking to get cheaper, that's a spot, especially with Jamarcus Hardrick, let's remember, being added at right tackle. I mean, he's an older player, but he is an American, and he makes a lot of money because he's very good at that spot. So if I'm the Riders and I'm looking to say, okay, you know, what can I do to upgrade my offensive line and potentially get a little bit cheaper at the same time, the answer is, well, let's go draft a blue chip prospect. And I know they've got you know, Noah Zur there, who's a former second-round pick. I know they've been developing Logan Bandy. They sent Evan Florin back to school. They've had Zach Fry in the building for a couple years. So they have some young offensive linemen. But frankly, I think that whoever they add in the top, we'll say two rounds this year along the offensive line, will be a better prospect than any of those players. Obviously, prospects are never sure things. They're, you know, some guys bust and other guys become surprise starters. But the caliber of offensive linemen in this draft is certainly the best we've seen in the recent history of the CFL draft. And I think most teams, honestly, especially with the last few drafts not being as strong on the offensive line, it wouldn't surprise me if almost every team in the CFL took an offensive lineman in the first couple rounds just because of how many good ones there are available.
Yeah, and the Riders, if they're going to have their pick, will need to grab one at number three, or maybe they'll hold off. It'll be interesting to see. They've got a lot of young faces that we've been waiting to see them blossom into stars, like Logan Ferland, like Logan Bandy. And I guess the way, you know, Roy Shivers, I thought, had the great line. He's, when a young Henry Burris was here and had all this potential, he said, potential's just a word for you're not any good right now. You might be good someday. But I guess the best way to make sure that some of those green apples turn red is to have more of them and draft some of them, like you mentioned early on in this draft. Our guest on the Western Pizza Hotline is John Hodge from Three Down Nation. Perfect pizza with a generous amount of toppings, plus Greek food like souvlaki, ribs, salads, all the goodness you can't make at home. Call Western Pizza today. Before we let you go, John, how much do you expect this list to change after the NFL draft? Because I know the NFL draft wraps up literally 3 days before the CFL draft, and I'm guessing you'll be scurrying to maybe reshape this list in between.
Yeah, and not so much necessarily with the Canadians who are drafted into the NFL. Right now, I think there's three that are pretty surefire NFL draft picks. That's Illinois offensive lineman Isaiah Adams out of Ajax, Ontario, who's just spectacular. And then Theo Johnson and Tanner McLaughlin, a pair of tight ends out of Penn State and Arizona, respectively. But there are a bunch of guys, and most of them on the offensive line, who I think will sign as priority free agents. Theo Benedict and Giovanni Manu out of the University of British Columbia would be probably top five picks in the CFL if they were readily available. They're probably both signing in the NFL. Kyle Hergel, Toronto native out of Boston College, I think will sign an NFL contract as well. And then Adam Dunkwa, left tackle behemoth of a man at 6'8", 365 pounds, I think will sign as well. And then the other guy is Jeffrey Canton-Arcou, linebacker out of Memphis. He's a guy who transferred from Syracuse. Depending on how he runs at his pro day, I think, you know, might even have a chance to potentially be a late round selection. So that's kind of the five right now who I'm watching, because again, I don't project them to necessarily be drafted, but obviously after the draft is done, you know, and there's about 250 players who get picked, there's another anywhere from 150 to 250 who sign NFL contracts as undrafted free agents. And, you know, recent history has shown teams in the CFL are pretty hesitant to use especially first-round picks on those guys who have NFL contracts. Generally, CFL teams want to make sure their first-round pick is in training camp, especially if it's a top 3 to 5 pick. You know, if you're picking at 8 or 9, maybe it's a little bit different. And then a lot of those UDFA guys will fall to round 2 or round 3. So that will certainly shape the way that this mock draft plays out. Again, that's my current projection, but if one of those five goes unsigned, their stock is going to shoot up in a big way up north.
Well, all we have to do to get more certainty is just tell the NFL to move their draft up. But for some reason, I don't think we'd have very good luck asking the NFL to do anything.
They'd tell us to move ours back.
Yeah. To the middle of the season.
Probably.
John Hodge, thank you for this, and enjoy the weekend. There's no curling for us to talk about. National curling, anyways.
Well, there's the Women's World starting tomorrow, BMAC. You're not going to be watching Kicking Rachel Holman?
In Switzerland.
No.
Sydney, Nova Scotia. That's the one in Sydney, Nova Scotia. I got them mixed up. I know Russ Howard told me he's out there. He's helping Team Japan.
Yes.
So there you go. Okay, well, okay, no Saskatchewan teams to watch. I guess that's what I meant by that. Have a great weekend, John.
Cheers, BMAC. Anytime.
Okay, that is John Hodge from Three Down Nation. You can read his stuff at threedownnation.com. Time to break. Still ahead on this edition of the program, in anticipation of tonight's Pats game against the Prince Albert Raiders, we'll talk to the coach, one of the players, and the broadcaster. More of the Sports Cage next. You're listening to Rider Radio 620 CKRM.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
We're talking sports on your way home. This is the Sports Cage on Sports Radio 620 CKRM.
Brendan McGuire, Ryan McNally with you from the Brandt Center, where tonight the Regina Pats will face off against the Prince Albert Raiders. Puck drop just after 7, and pregame show with Dante DiCaria at 6:30. Still ahead on this edition of the program, we will chat with Dante, Braxton Whitehead, and the coach, Brad Haroff. Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of hard with the CFL draft. It seems like everything gets all squeezed together because the NFL draft is so late in the offseason. They want to wait till after the NFL draft. And then we're trying to get the CFL season earlier. We're probably about as early as it's going to go. I don't know. It's hard to generate a lot of excitement, I think, because so much of the oxygen is sucked up by the NFL draft and who goes number one, etc., etc. And then the CFL has its little draft and then training camp starts, and a lot of these athletes are nobody that you've ever heard of before, and a lot of them you'll never hear of again.
Yeah, some of them, right? I mean, some of them you'll never see in a CFL uniform, even in that first round, right? And you know, it could be a situation where, you know, guys get taken and then decide, no, maybe pro football's not for me. Right, and making that choice, right, and maybe they get picked by a team they don't want, right? And I know that sounds rich, saying that you know, you don't want to play for a team that drafts you because, you know, you'd want to play pro football regardless. But, you know, like, it, every family dynamic is different, right? I mean, I personally wouldn't take a job in Vancouver right now, right? Because I got a wife and kid on the way here in Regina, right? So that's just, you know, the way the cookie crumbles, as they say.
Nick Weeb, linebacker for the U of S Huskies, of the two Saskatchewan programs, is the highest ranked on this mock draft. But again, that could be completely different by the time the dust settles. You can text us on the Capital GMC Buick text line, 306-936-6262, or call us toll-free at 1-866-767-0620. Still ahead, Chase the Ace. I forgot about that. That's happening today.
Yes.
Every Friday. Somebody's going to win something. And also, more Pats talk and the SJHL report coming up in hour number two with Benny Walchuk. You're listening to the Sports Cage for Nelson Holmes on Rider Radio 620 CKRM.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Welcome inside the Radio Octagon. This is Saskatchewan's number one sports talk show, The Sports Cage, on 620 CKRM.
It's time for the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League report on The Sports Cage. I'm Benny Walchuk. The 8 playoff teams have been determined for the Canterra Seeds Cup playoffs, but there's still plenty to be figured out as the SJHL enters the final weekend of their 2023-24 regular season tonight. At the top of the standings, the league-leading Flin Flon Bombers and the second-place Malford Mustangs have locked down the top two seeds entering the final weekend, and they like to fine-tune their games for the regular season finales this weekend and the playoffs looming. The battle is on, though, this weekend for the third and fourth seeds. The Humboldt Broncos enter the weekend just 1 point up in the defending champion Battleford for third, and they'll host the Bombers twice, while the North Stars have a home-and-home series with Kindersley. Meanwhile, the sixth, seventh, and eighth seeds are still very much up in the air. Weybert enters play 2 points clear of Estevan and 3 points up on Kindersley for sixth. And the two Highway 39 rivals, the Wings and Bruins, will meet for a home-and-home series starting tonight in the Energy City. Now the rivalry will be renewed this weekend as the fifth-seeded Mountville Millionaires will take on their Highway 10 rivals, the Yorkton Terriers, for a home-and-home series starting tonight in the Rail City before wrapping it up with a matinee on Saturday at the Westland Arena in Yorkton. Should be a great rivalry as the Parks Cup is on the line between those two hockey teams. There's 10 total games still left in the 2023-24 Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League regular season, and there's still plenty to figure out with the playoffs looming in just 1 week time. For the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League Report on the Sports Cage, I'm Benny Walchuk.
And that is Benny Walchuk with today's SJHL report. Brendan McGuire and Ryan McNally on location at the Brandt Center ahead of tonight's Pats game with the Prince Albert Raiders, and we're getting down to the nitty-gritty before the postseason. I know I've said tongue-in-cheek many times. So exciting this spring, all the Saskatchewan teams that'll be in the playoffs, but Regina. Are you going to drive to any games in any other cities?
I don't know. If we end up getting a Moose Jaw Saskatoon series, I think I might, you know, go to a game or two for that. If we end up getting Prince Albert versus Saskatoon, that'd be, you know, an okay 2.5 hour drive to get up and go see those games. But yeah, I might catch a game or two. I don't know if it'll be a weekend, you know, an every weekend occurrence, but definitely will try and catch a game or two.
Do you think Saskatoon has the best shot of all the teams at actually making a run just because they're in first place?
Jeez, I really want to say yes, but like Prince George, you know, like Prince George puts opposing teams through their travel throughout the playoffs, right? And Prince George is used to it by now. They've played all year, you know, the way they do it. But
I think it's 7 hours is their closest game, isn't it?
Six or seven. Yeah, you're right. But in the playoffs, like that distance gets further and further pretty much as you go in most cases, right? So putting teams through, let's be honest, a 9-hour-plus bus trip for, you know, game, especially if they do bounce back and forth for games 5, 6, and 7. Like, to hop on the bus for 9 hours to go to game 5 and then back home for game 6 and then back up for game 7, like, that's going to be absolutely insane. I imagine they'll do a 2-3-2, which has its own advantages too, right? Especially if you're the away team, but...
Do you feel good about the Blades, though, getting out of the Eastern Conference?
I do.
They seem head and shoulders better than everybody else. They're 19 points up on Swift Current, who has the second best record in the conference.
No, Swift Current actually just is top of the Alberta division.
Oh, right,
Central.
Right. Sorry, 12
so
points.
I guess they
bad.
Get the yeah. designated spot.
19 points right. better than anybody in their division.
Yes.
But the number, or I guess Swift is still in the Central.
Yeah, for one more year.
One more year.
But I genuinely think Saskatoon's gonna be good. I think they're gonna be fine in the playoffs. They're starting to find that playoff style of hockey a little bit more.
And that's kind of what I'm wondering. Who's the most playoff ready of all these teams? We know who's in first place, but the Ides of March and April don't always blow in the direction of the team that finishes first. Are they as built for the postseason as these other teams? And the reason I'm asking you that is you've seen these teams as much as anybody doing all the Pats coverage you've been doing.
Well, I've seen Saskatoon play. I've seen Moose Jaw play. I've seen Medicine Hat play. And I've definitely seen Swift Current play. But I gotta say, like, the talent alone on Saskatoon could get them there. It's just a matter of staying healthy through a playoff series. And the way you do that is you play less games, right? You know, you get through round one quick. You get through round two in 5 or less, right? And, you know, the less you play, the better off you are. But that, there you say, the argument could be rest versus rust too, right? But, you know, like, again, would you rather play a hard-fought 7-game battle or get through a team in 4 games, right? And, I'd personally prefer the 4 games just to, you know, get on down the road, get some practice in, you know, sleep in a little bit here and there, but and less days on the bus too, right, when you're traveling all over Saskatchewan. Again, in March and April when it's not always the nicest weather, for playoff series.
I feel like if I'm the Prince Albert Raiders, they're in that 7th seed right now, and I don't think the 8 playoff teams are going to change in the East. I think it's more about jockeying for position. Mathematically, we could still see a few changes down at the bottom, but Prince Albert's in 7th, and if they can keep that spot, they would face Swift Current in the first round, and if they drop down to 8th, they would play the Blades. I would have to think they would face much better odds playing against the Broncos. Have you thought about how those two teams, Prince Albert and Swift Current, would match up?
Well, Swift Current's added a lot of big, big high-end talent to their team, with Geeky joining the team from Wenatchee. You look at their defensive core, seems like at least 5 of them are drafted players, right? And especially with Owen Pickering, who was, I believe, a first-round pick from Pittsburgh a few years ago. You know, like, they're a solid team and a really built defensive team. They're not going to outscore you a ton, but they're going to keep the puck out of their own net. And Reed Dick, playing goal for them, has been really good the last little bit. Another drafted player. I think Boston picked him up in a draft not too long ago, too. But Reed Dick and that defensive core is going to keep a lot of pucks out of their own net, and that's going to help them be successful in the playoffs, especially, right? When it's not all about scoring 7 or 8 goals a game, it's about keeping the puck away from your end and puck possession for sure. Because, those defensemen over in Swift Current, they're really good.
They're going to be hard to beat.
For sure.
Giving some tickets away again today. Text the word refresh to 306-936-6262 for the chance to win 2 tickets to the Regina Spring Home Show next weekend at the International Trade Center. That word again, refresh. And of course, you can chime in on the discussion on the Capital Ford Lincoln text line at 306-936-6262 or call us toll free at 1-866-767-0662. 20. Still ahead on this edition of the program, we will have Chase the Ace back at at Harvard World Headquarters. Your chance to win a piece of the $25,000 grand prize. The game is simple. Draw the Ace of Spades and the prize is yours. And it's helping out the Ronald McDonald House Charities, the Saskatchewan Rough Rider Initiative. Tickets available at Ryderville. Click under Foundation. Also still ahead on this edition of the program, Dante DiCaria from the Regina Pats radio crew and Brad Haroff, the head coach. It'll be interesting to hear his thoughts as his team gets ready for the game tonight and entering their final week of the season that they call it a transition year. It feels like kind of a throwaway year, and even though we don't have the playoffs to get excited about, sometimes this is the best part because you get to the end and you can start thinking about next year and hope regenerates. And there are a lot of teams that will make the playoffs that'll be in the same boat in a week or two, but the difference is the Pats didn't sell the farm this year and probably have a better future after this year, we hope. You're listening to the Sports Cage on Rider Radio 620 CKRM.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Sports Cage. Now back to the action on Sports Radio 620 CKRM.
It's a Nelson Holmes Friday edition of the Sports Cage. Brendan McGuire and Ryan McNally live on location down at the Brandt Center. Of course, you can always text in through the Capital Ford Lincoln text line, Saskatchewan's number one Ford retailer, capitalfordlincoln.com. That number 306-936-6262. Very pleased to be joined by Regina Pat Center Braxton Whitehead. Welcome to the program. We've had you on here before. You've been on the cage.
How's it going?
Good, good. So you are from, we just clarified this, Palmer is in Alaska. You grew up in Alaska, and now you live in Kentucky. You said off air?
Yeah, that's right. I grew up in Alaska. I think I was there for 15 years. And then in 2020, right when COVID hit, our house was also on the market and somebody bought it. So my dad had a job transfer to Kentucky, and that's where I live in the summers now.
That has always just blown my mind that a piece of the States is way up north of us. And like a lot of our listeners, I know very little about Alaska. Probably like most Americans know very little about us. Is Regina more like home?
Oh, absolutely.
Than maybe Kentucky would be for a kid
absolutely.
From Alaska?
Yeah, no. I grew up like an hour outside of Anchorage, which is Alaska's biggest city, and I would say it's probably the same size as Regina, maybe a little bit bigger, but same type of people, same atmosphere, same climate. Both are really cold, so I'm kind of used to it. But they're super similar places.
Summers are nice, I bet, up there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm going to talk in Fahrenheit here, and you guys probably aren't going to understand.
No, that's okay. My grandpa used to do it all the time, too. Okay. We didn't switch to the metric till like the 70s, and some of us still haven't caught up yet.
Gotcha. Yeah, so, I mean, super nice days will be 85 degrees, maybe up into the 90s, and you're at the lake, and, you know, it's super fun and all that. And then, you know, there's some cold days in the summer where it rains for like a week straight, and it'll be like 40 degrees, and everybody's just shivering and cold. So, it's pretty dramatic, but... I liked it up there a lot. It was super fun.
Yeah, I've always wanted to go up, and I think of the dog races that they have in Alaska. And I read somewhere that like Blockbuster used to be everywhere, and they were just disappearing. And I think they were down to something like 7 Blockbuster locations in North America. 6 of them were in Alaska.
Yeah.
I guess there are a lot of places that took a while to get this internet thing. Totally dissimilar from rural Saskatchewan.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I remember there was a Blockbuster that I used to go to when I was little, right in my hometown, and I didn't really know that had been kind of phased out already in the lower 48 and parts of Canada, but I grew up going to Blockbuster, and, you know, there are little red box machines outside of the CVS or Walgreens to rent movies. Kind of, I used to do that all the time. So I think that, you know, Alaska could be a little bit behind, you know, a year or two behind the trend, but that's just because it's distant.
So. Part of its charm, too. Sometimes that's okay. You know, I feel like if we had less social media and some of the other electronics we have, maybe the world would be better off. How did you wind up in Regina? Maybe tell us about that.
So I was just playing for my U14 AAA team in Anchorage, Alaska, and we'd go out to tournaments in Vancouver, Vegas, Los Angeles. I think we went to Kamloops as well, Toronto. So we're kind of traveling out every weekend of the year, just playing these, you know, Canadian teams and American teams. And I got noticed in, I think, Vancouver at the Pat Quinn tournament by Dale McMullen, our scout here. And he talked to my parents. And my parents didn't really know anything about the WHL, to be honest, and neither did I. So that was kind of the first interaction we had. And then I know John Paddock came to watch my team play again in Las Vegas. And that's when I met John Paddock. And he met my grandparents and my family, and we had a really serious, in-depth conversation about kind of what the WHL is and what it means to be a Regina Pat and that type of stuff. So got pretty excited about it. And then I think it was sometime in May when the draft happened, and turned it on early in the morning. You know, it was like 8 in the morning it started, because Alaska time, it's a few hours behind what it is here in Saskatchewan. And I saw myself get drafted in the third round, and my family was super excited, and just that was just kind of the start of this journey.
So it wasn't a situation of, where the hell's Regina, Saskatchewan? How do I get there? Like, it sounds like you kind of had the firm grasp of, you know, Regina as a whole before you even got drafted.
I would say that there was like a brief moment of, where the hell is Regina, Saskatchewan? And then my dad's a pilot, so he's pretty geographically... knowledgeable about, you know, where things are. And he's like, oh, I fly over it all the time when I'm flying, you know, from Anchorage to where we now live, Louisville, Kentucky, because that's kind of the UPS route. But he kind of explained it to me and where it was. And then I did some Google searching and, you know, figured out that Regina was a pretty cool place to be to play hockey. So that's why I'm here, and that's why I love being here.
Chatting with Regina Pat Center Braxton Whitehead here at the Brandt Center on the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM. Okay, you've kind of seen both extremes in your time with the Pats. A period that's very memorable, largely because of one player and the experience that you guys all had playing with him and supporting him as well. And this year you're taking your lumps. Could you be back here next year as a 20-year-old? Do you foresee that?
I would love to be. Trying my hardest on the ice to make sure that that comes true. But at the end of the day, that's up to the general manager and coaches whether I get invited back. And I'm really hoping so. That's what I'm playing for currently. And I would love to be a 20 here.
It's not, you're not one of those guys who's thinking, I'm out of here, I want to go play pro at 20. You'd be all right with coming back and.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is an experience that you can't get anywhere else. So I'd want to make sure that I'd ride it all the way out and see it through, and I love my time being here.
You probably don't want it to end like this. You want to be back in the playoffs again.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that little lick of the playoffs that we had last year against Saskatoon was something special, and you know, I would do anything to have that again. So,
is that a challenge? Obviously, it was a challenge losing number 98 for obvious reasons, but his departure and some of the other older players, what did that do for you and your role on the identity of this team? How did that change this year?
I mean, Connor was a big leader on the ice, especially. You could see that. And I think, you know, guys like me and Ty Spencer and Sam Maremba and even Tanner Howe a bit, we all knew we had to step it up, right? And kind of fill what he was going to leave, you know, when he went to the NHL. So I think that was kind of one of the biggest goals that I saw, was that this is an opportunity for me to shine and me to, you know, kind of take that step forward that I've been waiting to take. And so I just continued trying to think that way.
I asked Mac earlier, just because he watches so much WHL, who he thinks is the best Saskatchewan team who is built for the playoffs, because once the playoffs start, you can throw standings out the window sometimes. Saskatoon, Swift Current, Moose Jaw, Prince Albert. You actually step on the ice against these guys. Who do you think is most playoff ready if you had to pick one?
If I had to pick one, I would probably say Saskatoon. They have very high highs, and their lows on the team are very solid, which, you know, in my opinion, isn't really a low if you're a solid player. You know, all teams need solid players, so. I would say Saskatoon's definitely the most playoff ready, but I could also see Swift Current being a sneaky candidate there as well, with, you know, Geeky and Vidston and Filman and Pickering. Those are all really high, you know, high level talented players. So
I didn't even think of this, but you guys have a chance to play spoiler. Prince Albert has lots to play for in terms of the jockeying for the playoff spot. Is that something you guys have talked about, that you can maybe ruin their good time a little bit?
I mean, I don't think we've talked necessarily about ruining their good time. I think everybody personally knows that, you know, ending the season on a bang is always much better than, you know, kind of on this dip slide that we're on right now. We would like to get some wins on the board, you know, going into next season at least. So I think we've looked at it more that way, but, you know, disrupting Prince Albert would be fun too.
Ty Spencer was on this show a few weeks back, and we asked him, who's the biggest prankster on the team? And he said himself. Is that true?
Yes, I would say so.
And he has competition from?
Borea Vallis was a huge prankster. So that's kind of the first person that comes to mind, but obviously he's not here anymore. And I would say Ty. I would say Ty kind of,
he wins.
He's kind of in a league of his own right now.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, I might have to pull some tricks out here to get on the leaderboard. But
maybe maybe give Dante a hard time about being Reptile Man. Maybe you can retake the lead. Hey, thanks for this. Another good season, personally. I know you guys haven't been getting the results on the ice that you want, but what is it? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So this will make you guys stronger for next year. Thanks for this, and
absolutely,
good luck tonight.
Thank you so much.
All right. That is Braxton Whitehead, whose Regina Pats will take on the Prince Albert Raiders tonight. Dante will have the pregame show at 6:30, puck drop just after 7. We'll have more of the Sports Cage when we come back. You're listening to Rider Radio, 620 CKRM.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Sports Ticker for Bronco Plumbing and Heating, where professional service is guaranteed. They'll treat you right. Call 781-2090. It's hockey night tonight under the orange top as the Regina Pats are getting set to welcome the Prince Albert Raiders. Puck drops at 7 o'clock, so you can catch us here at the Brandt Center or join Dante DeCary on the 620 CKRM airwaves, with the pregame show kicking off at 6:30. In other WHL action this evening involving Saskatchewan teams, Moose Jaw visits Saskatoon and Swift Current hosts Medicine Hat. In SJHL action this evening, five games on the schedule, Estevan hosting Weyburn, Humboldt entertaining Flin Flon, Yorkton visiting Melville, LaRange in Nipawin, and the Battlefords are home to Kindersley. Doug Armstrong has been named general manager of Canada's men's hockey team for the 2026 Olympics. The St. Louis Blues executive was named by Hockey Canada as part of a management team that also includes former Anaheim Ducks captain and former Regina resident Ryan Getzlaff. The NHL skipped the 2018 Olympics in South Korea for financial reasons. The league was set to return to the 2022 games in China 4 years later, but pulled the plug because of COVID-19 concerns. In the National Hockey League tonight, the Winnipeg Jets host the Anaheim Ducks in just one of two games on the schedule. With a win, the Jets could pull into a three-way tie for first in the Central Division with Colorado and Dallas. Elsewhere, the Chicago Blackhawks and Connor Bedard host the Los Angeles Kings. That's your sports ticker for Bronco Plumbing and Heating.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
The Kings of Saskatchewan Sports Talk. This is the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
Still ahead on this Friday edition of the program for Nelson Holmes, we'll check in with the coach, Brad Haroff, as we are live on location down at the Brandt Center ahead of tonight's Pats versus Prince Albert Raiders game. Puck drop just after 7 o'clock under the Orange Top. But right now, we head down the hallway at CKRM World Headquarters for Travis Stewart and this edition of Chase the Ace.
Some money. Sitting here with John from the Rough Riders Foundation. John, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. 2 weeks in a row for me, actually.
They're putting you to work.
Eh? Yeah, our fearless leader, Cindy Fuchs, our executive director, she headed down to Mexico for a little birthday bash next week. So, yeah, it's me. I'm here today and actually next Friday. So, yeah.
Very nice. We got $1,773 in the weekly prize. Somebody's winning at least $1,700. The grand prize total sitting at $44,778.
Not bad. That's not bad at all.
Well, let's give that magic spin there, John.
Let's do it.
See who our lucky winner is today. Thank you, boys. We got a whole professional
drum roll.
Yep.
Okay, we have a winner from Bethune, Marianne Hedford.
Marianne Hedford. All right, Marianne, hopefully you're listening. You just won at least $1,700. We're going to get Marianne on the line. John's writing very nicely on a sticky note. We're going to run that to the studio and try to get her on the phone. While we're trying to get Marianne on the phone, John, tell us all the goodies. What's the happening on
Absolutely.
The Rough Rider Foundation?
You know what? The happening for the Rough Rider Foundation right now is far and wide all across the province because the player ambassadors have been, one, very busy, but they've been very busy in a lot of rural communities. I got a list here, actually. Just in the past, kind of this week and next week, we visited Kerryvale, Melville, Milestone, Esterhazy, and again, those are just kind of all that's delivering our program, our rider reading program and our Win with Wellness program. And so it's been really great, seeing this off season, the guys just really get all across the province. Again, like I said, we're going to Northern Saskatchewan. We're going to Super South Saskatchewan and Kerryvale. I'm going to be honest. I had to look up where Kerryvale was when I first heard about it. I was like, I don't know that one. I'm usually pretty good with some Saskatchewan towns.
There's a lot of them. It's hard to keep track of them all.
Geez, that was a hop and a skip away from the U.S. border. So we're really all over the place. So it's been a very, very busy week. The guys are just, they're keeping busy spreading the good word of our programs, but they're loving it. they're loving. I saw a few of them in the weight room this week, and they're having such an awesome time. And again, it's such a great way for them to stay engaged in the community in the off season. And quite frankly, it gives a lot of them a reason to kind of stay in Regina. Some of them do have the opportunity to go home. I always reference Brett Lawther, Nova Scotia guy, right? He could go home. He has other places that he could be, but because Saskatchewan's adopted him, really as their own, and then he has this opportunity to, one, work, but two, just make that impact in the community. He loves staying here. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So that's where this money's going. You're buying tickets. Not only are you possibly winning money, but you're helping out the foundation. Also, you guys are helping support the Ronald McDonald Foundation as well.
That's right. So this year, Chase the Ace proceeds, they are supporting our community programs like the Rider Reading Program, but also the Ronald McDonald House in Saskatoon. I know the Ronald McDonald House, they're looking at building a house in Regina here and PA, and so some of the funds are going to go to that house in Regina here.
They do incredible work. Well, it sounds like we got Marianne on the line. Marianne, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm right here.
How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad.
What are you up to on your Friday?
I was just babysitting.
Babysitting your grandkids,
grandkids. Yeah.
Well, I don't know how much your kids are paying you to babysit, but we just gave you $1,773.
Holy crap, that's wonderful. Thank you so much.
That's probably a nice way to end off your baby shift.
Yep, that's
absolutely great. All right, so we got a giant board on here from 1 to 52, a deck of cards. If you draw the Ace of Spades, you're winning over $44,000.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
That'd be quite the babysitter fee if you came away with that.
that would be.
Might be the best babysitter pay I've ever heard of.
Those kids are getting spoiled if you're winning $44,000, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so all you got to do is pick a card number. So 1 through 52.
Okay, I'll pick 24.
24 is open, so let's open up. John's got a stack here of envelopes with one card in each one. He's got 24, showing it off to our camera, which we are live streaming. If anyone wants to watch John rip open an envelope, it's live streamed. There we go, ripping it open. Let's see what card we got, Marianne.
We have the Eight of Diamonds. The Eight of Diamonds. Shoot, it's not quite the Ace of Spades we were looking for, but you are still going home with that $1,773. So,
well, go spoil those grandkids with lots of candy with that $1,700.
Yeah, I can buy them something.
All right. Well, have a fantastic weekend. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very
Thanks
much.
For supporting. Have a great one.
Okay. Bye-bye.
There we go, John. We keep on climbing.
We keep on climbing. Let's see. You know what? I would love to see that grand prize hit $50,000 next week. The drive for five, climb to five. I don't know however you want to word it. I would love to see it. So.
Oh, yeah. All right, John, if somebody wants to grab tickets, get involved next week, fill them in.
Absolutely. So tickets are back on sale at 5 p.m. today. You can go to Ryderville/ChaseTheAce.com, or you can go to any of our foundation social medias. We've been promoting it for the last number of weeks. You can click the link. Tickets are 1 for 10, 10 for 20, 50 for 50, or $100 for 200 tickets. So that's really your best option. But tickets are back on sale at 5 p.m. You're also your best option too, or your other option is you can get your subscription. So if you're worried about missing or getting your tickets every week, just get a subscription. It's going to do it automatically for it, and then you got a chance to win every week.
Perfect. Well, thanks for coming in again, John.
Always a pleasure to be here.
All right, we'll do it again next week. This has been Chase the Ace, Rider Edition.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
You're listening to the radio home of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, The Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
Brendan McGuire and Ryan McNally live on location down at the Brandt Center, getting set for tonight's Pats hockey against the Prince Albert Raiders. Pregame show at 6:30, puck drop just after 7 o'clock, and this game doesn't really have meaning for the Pats per se.
mathematically eliminated from the postseason, but certainly for the Prince Albert Raiders, who are still jockeying for position in the WHL standings. And Mac, I'm just scanning through some of the scores, and it looks like the Pats have only beat the Raiders once this year. So one out of four tries, and we'll go head-to-head twice more tonight and again on Wednesday in Prince Albert. I guess, in theory, they could even the season series if they win these next two games. Not sure too many people get excited about that. We'll ask this question to Coach Brad Haroff when he joins us in Hour 3. But with five games left, what do you feel like has to be the goal? What do you think is... what are they playing for? They got to be playing for something.
I think everyone's playing for something a little bit different, and doing that as unselfishly as possible, too, right? If you're a 20-year-old or even a 19, you're playing for your next opportunity, right? And be that U Sports, be that professional somewhere. I know the three 20-year-olds are all defensemen, too, so it could be a chance to play U Sports at some level across Canada here to utilize that... you know, that scholarship opportunity that all CHL players get. You know, for the younger folks on this team, it's for next year. Playing for your spot for next year. Obviously, you still have training camp to get through and whatnot, and, you know, off-season and the moves that could be made for Alan Miller to really make this an Alan Miller team, right? Because there's still a lot of prospects and players in the mix that are John Paddock players or, you know, John Paddock prospects. And so I really think it is just kind of cementing that, you know, part of your game that maybe you just need to work on that little bit. Maybe you need to back check a little bit harder. You know, maybe you need to work on your shot just that little bit more. Maybe you got to get just a tiny bit faster. And, you know, these five games are that opportunity to, you know, try and get there and try and do it. And I really think that everyone's got something to play for here in these last five games. Tanner Howell, hey, you got to try and maybe increase your draft stock from a middle second round, which is where it seems like he's slated to go by the projections I've seen, to maybe try and get to that late first, or, you know, like trying to go up to early second even. So, you know, everyone's got something to play for here in the next little bit.
Yeah, when I look over the roster, obviously there's the three 20-year-olds who will be gone, and they've actually got on the roster, what, seven 19-year-olds, and only three can stick around?
Dante was saying that they have four that are going to be 20 next year. Okay. So there'll be some that have turn 19 this year in their 18-year-old season.
But they don't count as
overagers next year. Yes.
So so overall, the vast majority of the group that's leading the way should be back next year. And so I'll ask you this question. Do you project this team to be significantly better next year? And I'm not talking just making the playoffs.
I think they could be a second round team next year. Granted, there's a lot of time between now and then, right? A lot could go very well for certain players. Tanner Howell could, you know, stick in pro somewhere, right? Depending on where he gets drafted. You know, it all just kind of depends on where the lottery balls fall and, you know, who gets that second round pick or first round pick if they so choose to take him that early. I think it also depends on how healthy the Pats stay, right? And, you know, what's their goaltending situation next year, too? Do they keep Ewan Huey, an import goaltender? Or maybe they try and bring in someone else, right, to fill the crease, get those minutes? And a young D-Cor, do they look to add at the deadline if they're in a position to win, right? You know, it's just a lot of variables still in play, right? And I think the first 2 months of the season next year are really going to be telling on what direction that team's going to go. But I it's way too early, and this is what we're in the business of doing here, Brendan, is, you know, talking about things that happen a year in advance, right? Especially when it comes to junior hockey.
Not always easy to do that or to project, but I think a key part, if they are going to be significantly better, are going to be the Vaughn twins.
Yes.
And, you know, my experience many years ago covering junior, your 16 and 17 year olds were your development players. Your 18 and 19 year olds were the players who need to perform. You need to get a lot out of those guys. And then your 20 year olds is always a crapshoot, but the 20-year-olds better contribute, the three that you end up choosing. I think that that's probably your X factor, those Vaughn twins, aren't they?
I would say so. And at one point this year, they were, you know, projected to get drafted in the sixth or seventh round, right? I think their draft stocks dropped a bit just because, you know, the team hasn't played well, let's be real. And Jackson Vaughn's had a suspension. Corbin Vaughn's been hurt for much of the year, too. So, you know, that obviously doesn't help the draft stock either. But I think they're going to be really solid physical players next year in the WHL. So maybe they don't get drafted this year, but maybe as 19-year-olds they do. Or maybe they get signed somewhere by you know, an AHL team after they're all said and done. But I genuinely really think that Corbin and Jackson Vaughn will end up playing pro somewhere. Because again, a hard, gritty style of game, that's what people are after, right? You know, and they help you win tough games, right? And obviously the Pats haven't had a lot of success doing that this year, but
they're players built for the playoffs.
They are players.
They haven't had enough playoff games to use them.
They really haven't. No.
Yeah. It's kind of like fitting that mold. The Toronto Maple Leafs are having trouble with this. They're so good on paper during the season, but they haven't really figured out what players they need to bring in who don't fit that analytics mold that Kyle Dubas had. That's why I really wish that instead of going and hiring, what's his name, Trilliving to be the GM, I would have preferred if Shanahan had gone out and brought Mark Hunter back to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Maybe he tried. I suspect he didn't try, because I felt like when you had Kyle Dubas and Mark Hunter in their front office, one guy was the analytics guy and loved to fidget with his calculator and sit in his office and, you know, look at all this data all day, whereas Mark Hunter was all about that feel, felt, found. And a good example of a player who you need to be able to identify who, you know, this is maybe not the greatest example, Matthew Tkachuk, because he looks good on analytics and in the playoffs, but you need to figure out who's someone who would love to play in the playoffs, who loves to crash the net, who, you know, will die to get the 2 points. And that's not always easy to figure out, but I feel like these Vaughn twins kind of fit that mold and will be good for a team that can just get in the postseason. And next year, the Pats are going to have to take, I think I'm being kind, a fairly big step in order to get over that hump, aren't they?
Well, and you look at the games they played this year, you can really only count on one hand how many games that they were really out of it, right?
You felt like they played competitive?
I thought they were competitive even against teams that should have absolutely slaughtered them, like Portland even. Portland, like, it was a 3-0 game for the Winterhawks, largely regarded as one of the best teams on the WHL, but the Pats held on, right? They played a good game against them. Granted, didn't put one in behind the net on Portland, but, you know, still played them tough, right? And Saskatoon, you know, they've had their lumps against Saskatoon, but guess what? They've also beaten Saskatoon this year.
Something, right? Most teams haven't done.
A lot of teams haven't done that, yeah. Right? You know, Moose Jaw, they've given Moose Jaw good games this year. We mentioned, you know, Prince Albert earlier only beat them the one time, but you look back at those scores, no blowouts.
A couple of one-goal games.
Right? Yeah. Lots of one-goal games that the Pats have played this year, right? And that's what I really like to see, right? The Brad Haroff team's never out of a game, right? And, you know, just let's be honest, not enough talent this year to win those one- or two-goal games. Maybe next year that extra step in that talent process takes over, right? And maybe you start to see Cole Temple pot 20. Maybe you start to see, you know, Jackson Corbin Vaughn stop hitting as much as they do and getting in trouble as much as they do and start performing on the offensive side of things. Maybe, you know, a 20-year-old Zane Rowan is more offensively productive than a, you know, current Zane Rowan. Maybe Ty Spencer takes another step in his development, and he's already taken a huge leap and bound this year, right? So, and you never know. Maybe Tanner Howe comes back to the Pats, and he has just an absolute fire in his stomach, and he's ready to go, and he pots 50. Like, you just never know, right? And maybe we're just, you know, wait till the trade deadline, and Alan Miller sells everybody off and loads up for the next year, right? That's just the way junior hockey is.
Yeah, you go through those ups and downs. I can understand, and I hear from a lot of fans who say, you know, you get the ups and the downs, but it feels like they haven't had enough ups since that Memorial Cup year. And what adds a little bit of salt in the wound is the fact that Swift Current was right there with the Pats in those years. And now they've had a long road to hoe, too. But this year, they seem to be coming out the other end of it.
Well, and what helps, too, right, is one generational player. Right.
And, no, that makes a big difference. And some say they gave up too much, and maybe they did. And who knows what their future is going to look like. But one thing that I'll ask you about, do you think that it's smart strategically for them to aim for next year, the year after? When you look around the rest of the province, these other teams are built to win right now. For example, Moose Jaw should take a tumble next year, you would think.
Hoping for the Moose Jaw takes
You've
a tumble
been waiting for
years.
Many
yeah,
years.
Yeah.
And I'm a Warrior. I grew up a Warrior fan, so I'm not in that boat. But you know, Swift Current gave up a lot. And these other teams aren't going to look so good in the next 2 years. Maybe that's the time to strike while the iron's hot if you're the Regina Pats with these other divisional rivals on the mat.
Yeah, Brendan, I don't think you worry about whatever everyone
other
else
teams
is doing.
Are doing.
I really don't. I think you focus on what's in your own locker room, what's in your own house, and work with what you got. Because if you start worrying about other teams and what they're doing, then you're worried about the wrong things. I think if you're going to worry about anybody else, then you shouldn't be, right? I think you just got to focus on the here and now for your team and what you can do to be successful, be it this year, next year, or the year after.
Stop worrying about what everybody else thinks and does and just worry about your own backyard.
You're darn right.
Good advice in sports and in life. We've got to take a quick time out. News is next. Coming up in hour three, Dante DiCaria, the voice of the Regina Pats, prepping for the pregame show, and the coach, Brad Haroff. You're listening to the Nelson Home Sports Cage on Rider Radio 620 CKRM.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Welcome inside the Radio Octagon. This is Saskatchewan's number one sports talk show, The Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
Friday Sports Cage for Nelson Homes, supplying home packages and RTMs for over 65 years. Brendan McGuire and Ryan McNally on location down at the Brandt Center getting set for tonight's Pats game against the Prince Albert Raiders. That's a game you can hear right here on the almighty 620 CKRM. Dante DiCaria will have the pregame show at 6:30. Puck drop just after 7. And Diamond Dante joins us now on location. You're looking good. What is that, the sweater vest?
It is a sweater vest. Thank you very much. Yes, nice to have me on. Thank you.
So, this is the fifth of six meetings between the Pats and the Prince Albert Raiders. And a couple of one-goal games I've seen in these matchups. Can you not be distracted?
Sorry, I just saw my color guy, Drew Postie, walking by, and I had to say hello to him.
Friend of the show. You had to acknowledge his presence.
Well, yes. And friend of the show too, Brendan. RM listeners may remember Drew doing the morning news here for eons. Yeah. It seemed like he did news here forever.
Part of the furniture. I was going to say, I've asked this question to everybody else, and nobody's given me a satisfactory answer so far. So I'm going to ask you: of the other four Saskatchewan teams, who is the most playoff ready?
Well, that's a good question. I would probably say the Moose Jaw Warriors, just because they're red hot. I mean, they've won 7 or 8 consecutive games in a row heading into their final 5 games of the season. So I would probably say they're the hottest team in the Western Hockey League heading into the playoffs. Obviously, you have to give Saskatoon credit where it's due, but they've kind of tailed off a little bit compared to how hot they were in the first 3 quarters of the season. Out west, seeing Portland, I would probably say they're my favorite out of the West, in my opinion.
Even more than Prince George?
Yes. Yeah, I think Portland's the real deal. I really do.
See, I was thinking about Prince George and the road trip that they make teams do in the postseason, regular season too, but yeah, in the postseason especially. Like, that has to eat at you in a 7-game series, doesn't it?
I would think so. I've never really done that road trip other than twice. Once when I was in Junior A with the Powell River Kings, and then once last year with the Regina Pats, and it wasn't too bad because we went from Kamloops all the way towards Prince George, so I think it was only like 5.5 hours or something like that. So I've never done the Vancouver to Prince George, which is what we saw last weekend with the Cougars hosting the Giants for doubleheader, and then now they come back to Vancouver this weekend to play the Giants, and then they go through the mainland. That's kind of what they do, right? So yeah, I think it's tough, but at the end of the day, playoffs is playoffs, and the schedule will adjust accordingly regardless of who you're playing, so we'll have to wait and see on how things play out.
Well, so if my Warriors, because I grew up a Moose Jaw fan, made it to the finals, you would be okay with their chances to beat Portland or Prince George, whoever they meet?
Well, hold on a minute. They have to get through Swift
They have to get there first, and I get that. Yeah. There's a whole lot of steps to climb before that happens. But
they have to get through Swift Current, and obviously they have to get through the Saskatoon Blades as well. To me, the Eastern Conference Final will probably be Saskatoon and Moose Jaw, 1 and 2. Well, I guess not 2, but I guess they reseed after round number 1. So technically, the two best teams with the best records in the Eastern Conference will play each other in the Eastern Conference Final. I don't think it will be the Swift Current Broncos. I do think Saskatoon is going to make it all the way, potentially to the league final, but it's going to be a deep playoff series between Moose Jaw and Saskatoon. And hey, obviously it's tough to see the Regina Pats out of the playoff picture, but I think really cool to see all the Saskatchewan teams in the playoff picture, other than Regina.
I definitely, and I know a lot of our listeners feel that way. But for you, we've been talking about how, well, the team's probably not going to make the playoffs. Well, the team's mathematically eliminated. Hmm. The snow's melting outside.
Yeah.
You've only got another weekend ahead.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of a nice part of the year for you, too, where you can enjoy these last few games, and then you've got the off season, and more of the talk will move to next year, where hope springs eternal.
Yeah, Brendan, it's funny you mentioned that, because I was listening back to some of my broadcast tape, just kind of doing some air checks for myself, and one of the games that I had downloaded was, I think, January 13th, the last time the Regina Pats played the Prince Albert Raiders, and it was here at the Brandt Center on a Saturday. The Pats won 4-3, and it was minus 51 outside. And I was.
Did you have command start?
No, I didn't. I do not have that on my car, my nice Honda Fit. I actually had Brent Kaminsky warm up my vehicle in between periods downstairs in the VIP room.
It's because Dante's from down east. They're soft, so they don't need
Big shout out to Brent for helping me out. He's awesome and the best VIP room attendant you can find in the entire world. But yeah, just kind of listening back to that, I was like, man, like, it was minus 51, like, not that long ago, and it's plus 10 today. So it's kind of neat. I mean, I put on my pea coat today, and I was like, do I really need this as I walked out the door? And I kept it on, and I'm still wearing it right now. But, you know, looking ahead to the offseason, it's nice to play the final 5 games of the year in beautiful weather. But I think these players have to think ahead and say, okay, what would it be like to have a deep playoff run and come to the rink in this weather? Right.
Exactly. I grew up in a small town where we had good teams and they had playoff runs. And there's no better feeling on earth than when the Great Canadian Thaw starts and all of a sudden there's action at the rink. And not just on weekends like all the other sports. Like on a Tuesday. There's nothing you get excited about on a Tuesday. Oh, there's playoff hockey. That's the best.
Well,
it goes to overtime, double overtime. People want to go to the bar after.
Yeah.
That there's just no other sport offers that but a hockey playoff run.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because last year in the playoffs, it was a very deep playoff run that went all the way the distance, 7 games between the Regina Pats and the Saskatoon Blades, with the Blades edging the Regina Pats. And I remember getting ready for game 7, and we were cooking, and I had no jacket on, and I was just going straight to the SaskTel Center and just my suit on. And seeing all the players with their sunglasses on and their suits and stuff like that was so neat. And then guys were coming to the rink in shorts. You know, I think that's the beauty. You know, whenever you can show up to the Brandt Center in meaningful playoff hockey for practice in joggers or shorts without a coat or anything like that is extremely special. So I think this team needs to work towards that.
So if you're coaching, they throw you behind the bench. Did they do that in spring camp? Do they put you behind the bench for...
No, I was on the bench just taking photos, but I've never actually coached, no.
Okay. Well, we'll have to check that off your bucket list next fall. But I was going to say...
I don't know how much coaching I'd actually could do, though.
Well...
other than get the puck deep.
How much do those guys really do behind the bench? Come on.
Well, actually, this past training camp...
I'm talking about real coaches. Sometimes I wonder. Like, anyways, carry on.
I mean, I was on the bench. We had Evan McPheeters and Ken Schneider run their respective benches for training camp.
Okay.
So things were a little bit different. Like, there was actual coaching. I was taking photos in the dressing room when they were drawing up plays and stuff like that. So,
and Dante's just like, wow, they actually do stuff down here.
No, I knew they did. I mean, spring camp's a little bit different because they're mostly just kind of not, I shouldn't say scrimmaging, but they're doing more skills and stuff like that because we want to kind of measure, you know, how hard their shot is, how fast they skate, you know, what's their body fat, et cetera, et cetera. So there is 3-on-3, 4-on-4, 5-on-5, but they're very short games, so they're not like real structured 60-minute games. We're only on the ice for 2 hours, right, for spring camp, so it's a little bit different.
A little different deal. We'll step aside and take a quick break. When we come back, more with Dante DiCaria, including his thoughts on what's happening with Connor Bedard at the NHL level. You're listening to the Sports Cage on Rider Radio 620 CKRM.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Saskatchewan's best coverage of the Saskatchewan Roughriders is on the Sports Cage, right here on the mighty 620 CKRM.
Still ahead in this edition of the Sports Cage, live at the Brandt Center, we'll check in with the head coach of the Regina Pats, Brad Haroff. Will be curious to hear what his goals and plans are for these final five games for his hockey club heading into the offseason. Brendan McGuire, Ryan McNally, and Dante DiCaria. Who's on the pregame show tonight?
Tonight, it's going to be Kelly Rempel, Mark Black, and Drew Postie.
The Silver Fox.
Yes.
And, Mark Black?
Mark Black, he's got a really neat background. He actually works for the NHL. He does all their international planning and stuff like that. And
very
he
cool.
lives here in Regina, so he works remotely. The only time he essentially has to leave Regina is to go to, for example, Finland when they had the international series there, or Australia. They did that as well. So that was neat. So he organizes all of that kind of stuff.
That'd be cool.
So, yeah, Mark Black's a great guy, real good hockey guy, somebody who coached, I think, was it AAA or AA hockey here in Regina? Actually coached Chris Kunitz back in the day. So somebody who has a lot of experience, really smart guy, a friend of Al Dumba, that's how I met him. So really happy to have him join the broadcast crew. He joined us early last season, and he's been a friend ever since. And always neat kind of hearing his perspective on the game. He also worked for Hockey Canada for a very long time as well. He was actually part of the staff that won gold at the 2010 Olympics in Vancouver.
The golden goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very nice. So we talked about number 98 earlier with Braxton Whitehead, Connor Bedard, and what a show. And I feel like that's something we'll look back on in 10 years. I remember saying last year to Dante, hey, when you're at Hockey Night in Canada, are you going to look back and tell people stories? I remember in junior when he...
I got lots of stories.
When he'd be swarmed. And now that the dust has settled on that, how much do you follow his path now at the NHL level?
Every game.
You're checking his highlights every night? Or did you get the center ice package?
No. I illegally stream his games on my smart TV. That's what I've been doing. I'm not lying.
Legally?
No, illegally.
Oh, look at that. Look at him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
An admitted felon right over our airwaves.
I have the website if you want to know. No, it's not great. It kind of cuts out here and there, but it is what it
we'll
is.
Talk.
At least I get to watch his games.
So are you surprised? Anything?
No, I'm not surprised at all.
Doing?
Yeah, no, I check in all the time. I mean, him and I have a really strong relationship, so we've had a lot of really good conversations over the recent, I guess, last six, well, ever since he left, so.
You guys still talk?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, no, him and I have a good relationship. We chat quite a bit, just checking on each other on, you know, how the team's doing here in Regina, and for myself, just kind of, you know, chatting with him about the season and stuff like that, and, you know, I had the pleasure of visiting with the Chicago Blackhawks broadcast team in January when I sat up in the booth with Chris Fosters and Darren Pang. So that was really neat. Cool to meet Darren Pang because he's an Ottawa boy as well.
That's
like
the
myself.
TV crew or the radio crew?
TV crew. Okay. I did meet the radio crew as well.
Yeah. It's you've done a lot of games on radio, and a lot of people see your call on the video feed.
Mm-hmm.
When you're describing for one or the other, do you do it differently?
No, it's the same.
You do it the same either way?
Well, I've never just called the game straight for TV, so...
I see. You've never, in your illustrious career, doing, what, AA baseball? Single A baseball.
Single A baseball.
Single A baseball.
Yeah. And it was all radio. And
you've never done games on TV.
Never.
You know what? I've done a fair amount of both, Mac. You've done. You haven't done games on radio, have you? You've done the other way.
A time or two, actually. Part of the one game SJHL club. So I did one game on SJHL radio, one game for U Sports. But personally, I try and take the same approach for both. If I was going to do a radio broadcast or TV broadcast, just because, you know, you never know when people are looking at the TV, right? So
not me. Yeah, you guys, as you become more seasoned at both, like a grizzled old vet like me, you will do it much differently, and you will love it on radio that much more, because on TV you are complimentary, and I like the show to be about me. And when it's on audio, there's no bigger rush in the world when everything goes through you. And that's why I think you have the coolest broadcast job maybe in Western Canada, because most of the games are not on TV. You can buy that package.
WHL Live, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and here you do the games. But most people are listening on CKRM. You are one of the... You have a primetime audience that is not, for lack of a better term, polluted by television like a lot of the other sports that we watch.
Yeah, that's
so
why...
So hold it tight, will you have it?
Thank you. That's why I take every broadcast extremely serious. That's why I put a lot of pride into the little details that I do, preparing for games and making sure my call is on point. And that's why I do a lot of air checks for myself, listen back to the games, and make sure that if I can close my eyes and picture what's happening, then I did my job describing and painting the picture for the listener. And I want to do my best job in terms of describing the play for the listener, describing what's happening, the energy of the game, the feel for the game, making things exciting, learning more about both teams, about the Western Hockey League, about these talented players that we have an opportunity to see on the ice tonight here inside the Brandt Center. So that's something I take a lot of pride in, and I don't take any games off at all.
Yeah, and we rely on you as the listener to paint the picture so that I don't have to use my eyes. Mm-hmm. And I sound like I'm being a wise guy, but it's true. If I'm sitting there, if I'm working, if I'm driving, I don't want to put that energy into it. You have to paint the picture, and only the best broadcasters can do that. And I remember there was one line that came out that when you are on radio, you are the show. When you're on TV, you are only complimentary. You want to know who said that? Chris Cuthbert. I had a big, long chat in the Rider Media Room once upon a time. I'm going to say that was about 2008, because he used to do the Yorkton Terrier games. And
that's right.
When he would come in to do CFL games, he'd meet up with his old pals from Yorkton, and they would hang out in town. I think he may have said he goes out to Yorkton once in a while. So he loved the experience of being on radio. And if someone who's as prime time as him could do that, anybody would identify with that.
Well, gentlemen, there's six things that I write on my spotting board before every game to try to remind myself of heading into every single broadcast. And it's number one, less is more. Number two, keep it simple. Number three is lag. That's something that Jerry Howard passed on down to me. The fourth one is be yourself. The fifth is think positive. And the final one, the sixth one, is have fun.
Those are good rules. And I'm still learning the less is more. I'm still working on it. But we all still have things to work on. And well, the other thing I was going to ask you is, how long have you lived in Saskatchewan? 2 years? 3 years?
Coming up on 3 years in August.
Coming up on 3 years in August. Okay, so you know that this radio station stretches all over, I was going to say coast to coast, but corner to corner in Saskatchewan. And Chris Colabello, before he got caught doping, came out to the Kinsman dinner in Saskatoon with Joe Montana. And he was interviewed on, I think it was the Toronto radio station, and he said, geez, I had no idea there were so many people out here who followed us. Have you spent any time traveling the province, going to any of these small towns, and meeting the legion of fans who listen? There's a very loyal following for Regina Pats Radio.
Yeah, no, that's really neat for you to share that with me. I don't think I've done too much exploring in the province. I guess last year, traveling to all the little towns for baseball, just coaching that U13 AA team, I had the opportunity to go to Davidson, Swift Current, and head out to Estevan and stuff like that, and Weyburn as well, another prime example. So I haven't really done too much traveling around the province, but that's actually something that's on my bucket list that I'd like to do a little bit more of this summer. One thing that I was pretty excited to do last year was check out Lumsden and stuff like that. Quite a neat place.
You're speaking my language, Don.
Yeah,
from
town.
From there. Yep. Beautiful down there.
Yeah.
Duck Derby.
Yeah. Went to Regina Beach as well, just to kind of check out that area. So that was pretty cool. So looking forward to hopefully finding some spots where I can maybe go camping and stuff like that and do some fishing. So
are you going to do some Sox casts for us this year? The webcast for Regina Red Sox?
Hopefully. I'd like to. I saw that email, by the way, the other day. So looking forward to
Hopefully. I missed it.
Oh, really?
You might have to re-forward it to me. Okay. But anyways.
Anyways, it was essentially just asking if I was interested in coming back or whatever. So,
well, we're happy to have you over there. The I feel like, and I'm not saying that it's any better than the entertainment value you get coming to a Pats game, but in the summertime, that's the best bang for your buck.
Oh, 100%.
Coming to a Sox game.
I enjoy going to the Red Sox games.
That's the highlight of my summer, is coming and doing the webcasts at the Red Sox games.
Yeah, I enjoy calling the games as well. If you want me to be honest with you, it's those games that get real late, 11th clock at night, stuff like that.
They still haven't quite caught on to some of the Major League Baseball changes about tightening the games.
So you wouldn't mind if I bring it up?
No, bring it up.
Okay. Yeah, I just, you know, I remember my first year, I did almost all of the home games. I know you were there as well.
I did the schedule. I said, how many are you going to do? And Dante says, honestly, I'll just do all of them. I'm like, you sure? All right, here you go.
Yeah, and the WHL season is such a grind.
Yeah.
And it really does take a toll on you, and it's kind of nice to relax a little bit. And through the early portions of my career, I would go from hockey to baseball, nonstop. So I really never had a summer to kind of just lay back and kind of relax. And now that I'm a homeowner, I have a lot more responsibilities and stuff like that. And now that I'm not around friends and family, I try to, you know, use my vacation time to go back home, and some of my off time when I'm not busy to go home and see my family and stuff like that, whether it's in BC or whether it's in Toronto or Ottawa, et cetera, et cetera. So during my first season when I was doing all the Red Sox games, it was getting tough because the games would go so long. You know what I mean? Like, there was a couple times where there's a rain delay, and then you're not out of there till 11:30 at night. And then, you know, I still work at the Regina Pats business office, and you get up the next day and go back to work. And I kind of looked at myself and I was like, hey, it feels like I'm still in hockey season. I'm doing the exact same thing that I would have done during the hockey season as well. You get off the bus from Prince Albert and you still got to get up the next day and go to work. So.
But it shows that you love to do that. You love to do the broadcasts.
I do.
And, yeah, I just love going down to the park, and I know that they're trying to change the park or get a new park, and that's fine. I love Curry Field, today.
I really miss doing pro baseball, like doing the Lansing Lugnuts in 2018. If you go in my office at the Regina Pats business office on Albert, you'll see that I have the picture of the stadium from the press box blown up on my wall. You know, that's how much I adored Cooley Lawswell Stadium in that venue and that league. And Jesse, who was the play-by-play guy, and I had the opportunity to work under him, and I've got so many neat pictures. The players that I had the opportunity to be around, from Gesrardo Chisholm, or Jazz Chisholm they call him, a star center fielder from the Miami Marlins, or Royce Lewis, who's now a shortstop with the Minnesota Twins, and he had a great playoff series, essentially knocked Toronto out of the wild card in the playoffs last year. He was a lot of fun to call. The list goes on and on. I mean, there's just so many players. We actually hosted the Midwest League All-Star Game that year, so that's why I got to see all the best players.
This guy's been all over the globe, like everywhere.
Globetrotter.
Literally. And then had the opportunity to go to Las Vegas for the MLB winter meetings in 2018, which was so much fun to just meet so many people there. And, you know, I look at Chris Foster's a friend of mine who was the voice of the Great Lakes Loons, the Dodgers Class A affiliate, now the play-by-play voice of the Chicago Blackhawks. Ben Shulman, who I called games with in Barrie, Ontario, with the Barrie BayCats of the Inter-County League, and now he's the voice of the Toronto Blue Jays on radio. Great guy, so talented, just unbelievable person. And all the other baseball guys that I broadcasted with, which are now in the MLB, the voice of the Kansas City Royals, and Jake Eisenworth was, I think he was in high A, I forget, but I had an opportunity to, you know, chat with him a little bit and talk to him quite a bit, and now he's calling games in the MLB with the Royals. I think there's like five guys from that 2018, like, year in general that are now calling NHL or MLB games.
We have to do a show around this, all of Dante's connections and some future connections for the Red Sox dinner. I'll tell them who to call. Dante will hook them up with some of these MLB players when they're done. Hey, listen, this has been great. Have a good call tonight, okay?
Thank you so much, man. Really
Knock
appreciate it.
Yeah, that is Dante DiCaria. You will hear him on this radio station just after 6:30 for the pregame show, the Pats and the Raiders tonight. Time to step aside. We'll have more of the Sports Cage, including Regina Pats head coach Brad Haroff. You're listening to Rider Radio 620 CKRM.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Time now for the sports ticker, which is brought to you by Busy Bee Overhead Doors. Busy Bee will repair or replace your residential or commercial garage door so you can get stuck in or out. Catch the buzz. Busy Bee Doors, the garage door specialists. Western Hockey League action tonight at the Brandt Center as the Regina Pats host the Prince Albert Raiders. Puck drops at 7 o'clock. We got the game here on 620 CKRM. Pre-game show starts in about an hour, in about 6:30. Other games see the Blades host the Warriors in Saskatoon, and Swift Current is home to Medicine Hat. In the SJHL, there's five games tonight on the ice. Weyburn visits Estevan. Humboldt is home to Flin Flon. Melville hosts Yorkton. Nipawin entertains LaRange, and Kindersley visits the Battlefords. Casey missed it earlier. The Saskatchewan Roughriders have made a signing today, adding quarterback Jack Cohn. He is an undrafted free agent that signed with the Indianapolis Colts in 2022. He also had tryouts with the 49ers and Seahawks after one season in the XFL with San Antonio. Cohn played his college football with Wisconsin and then with Notre Dame, where he set the record for passing yards and touchdowns at the Fiesta Bowl in a loss to Oklahoma State. Keston Hiura blasted a grand slam to lead the Detroit Tigers to a 9-6 win over the Toronto Blue Jays in the spring training action today. Hira's home run off of Toronto pitcher Mason Fluharty anchored a 7-run sixth inning for Detroit. It was also a high-scoring inning for the Jays, who scored four runs in that sixth to take a 6-2 lead earlier in the game. Vlad Guerrero Jr. had a single and a homer in three plate appearances for the Jays. He also drove in four runs. George Springer also had a home run for the Jays, who are back in action in Grapefruit League play tomorrow against the Yankees at 11:05 Saskatchewan time. That's your sports ticker for Busy Bee Overhead Doors.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
The Sports Cage is your locker room pass. We're talking Riders on Saskatchewan Sports Radio, 620 CKRM.
Brendan McGuire and Ryan McNally on this final half hour of the Friday edition of the Sports Cage for Nelson Homes. We are live on location at the Brandt Center ahead of tonight's Pats and Prince Albert Raiders game that you can hear live on the almighty 620 CKRM. Earlier this week, we had Mike Abou-Meshrek in studio, and he more or less blamed the last 2 years on Coach Craig Dickinson. You think that's fair?
I don't know if it is, Brendan. I really don't. Because coach can only do so much, right? There was a lot of undisciplined penalties, and yeah, you could say the coach didn't have control of the locker room or this or that.
Especially the first year of the last 2 years, they had a lot of penalties.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even last year too, to an extent, right? There was a few that, you know, it was like, what are you thinking, dude? Kind of calls, right? And I don't know. There's a lot of players there though that really just did not seem like Saskatchewan Rough Riders, if you know what I mean. Like, they just kind of were there to get out. Kind of like Last Chance U, a great Netflix docuseries that absolutely everyone should watch. But it just kind of seemed like Saskatchewan was their Last Chance U. It was their last chance to go back home to play south of the border. It was like, now I think Coach Corey Mace has guys that want to play for the green and white.
You feel like they're actually getting players that other teams want, aside from just the quarterback, because other teams did want Trevor Harris, but it was interesting. By the way, Abu is one of my favorite people in the Regina media. He's absolutely hilarious, but he suggested that maybe other coaches worry too much about what the media thinks of them, and that maybe Coach Dickinson did a little too much of that. Maybe Coach Dickinson didn't pick a side. He was just happy to throw whoever was under the bus, whoever was expedient, but I don't know. That's the sport too.
I don't know.
People are always being replaced. I don't know that he can be blamed for Cody Fajardo leaving town. I know that looked really bad, but it wasn't just him who was part of that. And to this day, I don't feel like Cody Fajardo was ever the solution for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I don't think he would have been the solution for them last year either.
I don't know. Like, with that, like, I don't know if Coach Dickinson really worried or cared, for that matter, about what the media said or thought. Because if so,
not just the media, the fans, and whoever. But
still,
yeah,
if that was the case, then why? Like, he made a lot of decisions that proved otherwise, too, right? I mean, you know, he kept Mason fine, and as long as he did, when everyone was asking, why can't we see Jake? And then finally plays Jake, and lo and behold, we win a few games, including the game that's the most meaningful game in a losing season for Saskatchewan, and that's Labor Day. You must win Labor Day, no matter what, in this province. If you don't win Labor Day, the season's a failure. Really, in the grand scheme of things, you could win, or you could lose every other game, but if you win Labor Day, that's a highlight of the season.
At least that's something.
That is something, right?
Right.
That's something we've always had.
That year would have been a complete disaster if they blew that one, too.
Oh, exactly. But. And we look at 6-12 the year before. I personally see it a little bit worse because we lost Labor Day in 2022 on a play that, you know, like it wasn't a great play.
I think more than anything, the way the team regressed late in the season, and I would hear stories of people who would go down to the park who actually know what they're talking about, unlike me. I haven't watched enough practices to really know what I'm talking about what drills they should and shouldn't be doing. And some of the observations I was told was they spend a lot of time on special teams. And on one hand, you like that, but then you think, well, what about all the other stuff that gets neglected when you're focused on that? I was told that if there's ever a fumble and you need to bat the ball out of bounds, they're really good at that. They practice that over and over. But there wasn't always a lot of evidence of new plays being practiced, like on offense or by the quarterbacks. One thing that Chris Jones was really good at was he would have the starters doing reps, but over here he'd have the second team doing reps. And I think that the sign of a good coach is a team, or good coaching staff, is when a team evolves. And this team would start well. They started 4-1 the one season, and then they imploded, losing, 11 of their last 13. They started 6-5 the next year, then they lose 7 in a row. And I think the problem is the team might have gotten better as the year went along, but they didn't improve like the other teams did. The other teams evolved faster. And I think it's true in any sport, not just in football. 100 years ago, I used to cover the SJHL. Dwight McMillan, I thought, was the greatest coach ever. His win totals are incredibly high. And his teams would start off miserably in September, October. And he'd always talk about, wait till after Christmas in February when the real hockey's played. And sure enough, year after year, his teams would look so much better late in the year. That's a sign of a good coach. And if for no other reason, I think that's why Coach Dickinson failed at the end. And every coach fails at the end.
Yeah, and I mean, you look back at that 2019 season, the Riders started slow, right? They started slow, but got on a heater. It just seemed like the Riders flipped the page and, flipped the script on that, where, you know, they focused really on a hot start and tried to ride a hot start, as opposed to, you know, that kind of mentality where it's okay to start slow as long as you finish good or finish right. Well, right?
Get and, hot at the right time.
Exactly, right? I don't care if you win 7 straight games in June, July. I care if you win 7 straight games in October, November, right?
At the same time, through all that, I don't think he was a terrible head coach. I don't think that at all. I think that a lot of his a way of doing things was a refreshing change from Chris Jones. And I also believe that teams are sometimes at their best when they have the attributes of two different head coaches. Prime example, Tampa Bay Buccaneers had Tony Dungy for 6 years, but could never get over the hump, and they had that great defense. Okay, so Tony's gone. First year, the next year, they've still got Tony's great defense. They bring in John Gruden. That's just what they need to win a Super Bowl. And then as time went after that, they deteriorated because they lost a lot of those attributes that Tony Dungy had brought to the table. This is way before we learned that John Gruden was a complete fraud. And and then in addition to that, Danny Barrett was here for a lot of years. And you know what? Those early years, he did a pretty good job. I have no problem saying that. But near the end, it got stale. It got old. He had to be pushed out the door, kicking and screaming. And then first year of Ken Austin, bam. They're able to strike while the iron's hot. Everything goes great. And then Kent was a one-hit wonder. And I'm glad he was a one-hit wonder because I often wonder, would the milk have gone sour if Kent had stayed here long enough? We'll never know.
Yeah, that's
and I'm
true.
Glad that we'll never know because I feel like he will always want to remember his time with the Rough Riders. And as a fan and someone who grew up watching him play, I want to remember his time that 1 year as a head coach for the way it was. I don't want years that come later to jade that view. That's the magic of it. So if Kent is going to be a head coach again, I hope it's in college and he shows how smart he is by having success in college. He's working as a quarterback's coach at Auburn now, and I hope he has a lot of success. I hope he gets to be a head coach again. But I don't want him to come back here and not succeed, because if a coach is in a job long enough, that's going to happen. Every coach has a shelf life. We've always learned that. And I think the fact that Craig Dickinson lasted here for four seasons, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good run for a head coach at the pro level. So I'm not going to jump on him or grave dance a way a lot of other people have. And you're not going to replace your GM and your CEO and your janitor as often as you are the head coach. But of course, if they continue to have the struggles that they've had the last couple of years, then you work your way up the ladder. And it just so happened that first it was the players, then it was the head coach, and they've got to turn it around before all eyes will be on the front office about what's not working in Ryderville, why the fans aren't getting the team that they so richly deserve and haven't had since that first year after the pandemic. We'll step aside and have more, including the head coach of the Regina Pats. You're listening to the Friday Sports Cage on the voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Nobody covers your team like our team. This is the Sports Cage on the Mighty 620 CKRM.
Friday Sports Cage from the Brandt Center. Brendan McGuire and Ryan McNally with you till the top of the hour. And I was going to ask you, Mac, the people who are listening, who are driving in and coming to the game tonight, some of them maybe haven't seen a Pats game before or haven't seen a game this season. Who are some of the players that are exciting to watch on this Pat roster for you?
I would say Tanner Howe definitely is the headliner. If you're going to look at Pats players that you really want to, you know, pay the admission to go watch. But another guy or two that you really got to look for, Ty Spencer, for sure. The Saskatoon speed demon, I call him on the Access Now TV broadcasts. And, he is just that. He's a fast, small guy that puts up, I think he has 22 goals this year, right? And, Braxton Whitehead, we had him on the show. If you like defensive hockey from the forward position, he's a great two-way player, right? Really good in his own zone and also, with the puck on the power play too. And so I like the way he plays on the back end. Some 320 year olds that'll age out next year, but does anybody else out there love to see Corbin Vaughn throw punches around and throw his weight around? I really like the way the Vaughn twins play. They hit hard, right? And if you like hard physical hockey, then it's the Vaughn twins. It's Braden Barnett that goes after you. And, the last time the Pats won was a 6-0 win over Calgary. That was their last home game. And everyone played like Corbin Vaughn because Corbin Vaughn returned to the lineup that day.
Oh, I remember that game. Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, it seemed like everyone played like Corbin Vaughn. And you know, if the Pats come out and play like that tonight, look out! It'll be a fun one to watch tonight.
Do you think UA is the goalie next year? He'll still be what? It'll be his 19-year-old season.
It's tough to say. I wonder what the Pats are going to end up getting in that CHL European draft. If there's a priority that they can address, because I think Sam Barsic stays. You know, I think he's a good young defenseman that they want to keep around for as long as they possibly can. I really like the way Barsic is, again, another good hard-hitting defenseman that plays pretty decent in zone. Could move a little better, but that's a next year thing that he can work on. But if there's a forward out there that the Pats can bring to Regina that would help, you know, fill the back of the net, I would probably go that route. You know, someone that could play with Tanner Howe on the right wing. You know, someone that, you know, could maybe it's a centerman that can win a ton of draws for you, right? I'd maybe go the forward route for that last Euro spot. But it's, you know, tough to say, right? Goaltending's a hard position to try and fill locally as well, right? I mean, Kelton Pine does what he can, but again, you know, hasn't had a strong team in front of him, and it's kind of showed this year, right, with the save percentage and for QAs as well. But, you know, like, I don't know. It's a yes and or no question. I'll give you that, right? It really just depends on what that CHL import draft does.
Kind of a fascinating offseason we're going into for them, isn't it? Like, some years, you know, it's a rebuild year. Some years, you know, you're all in this year. You don't really know what the Pats are next year.
You really don't. Yeah. No. And I think that's exciting, right? For me, that's
the unpredictability.
Yes. For me, that is exciting because, you know, the Pats, you know, they're going to be like a Forrest Gump movie line. You never know what you're going to get out of that box of chocolates. Right?
Kind of like we were saying, March and April in Saskatchewan.
Exactly, right? Lousy smarch weather, if you will. And but no, like, you know, weather here has been nice, and maybe next year's just that little bit nicer here for Pats fans, you know. And I don't know. I'm optimistic. I think the Pats are going to definitely take a step up next year. Are they going to be Memorial Cup favorites? I don't think so. But I think they genuinely have a shot to make the playoffs and make noise, right? And especially if they keep, I'm sure they'll keep Brad Herroff around. I'm sure they'll keep that good young core that they have now around. And I think they're only going to get better from here.
It'd be kind of unfair to blow people out after a year like this and the challenges that they had to face. I remember thinking when this team was so much about number 98, and the fans were fine with it, and I was fine with it too, but I remember thinking it'll be great when they're able to get back to being about winning. And that's not putting Connor Bedard down in any way, shape, or form. It's just all of the attention was on one guy, and I just have to think that that creates a challenge toward creating a team concept. And now these other players, it's incumbent upon them to carve and make out their own identity, and that's, they're going to get more and more opportunity to do that. I think now so many of these players had to take on a different role this year. The question is, are they capable of filling those bigger roles that they're going to get next year? And I think of Braxton Whitehead a lot because they're going to have to choose him of one of the three 20-year-olds. I suspect they will.
Oh, yeah.
And he's really going to have to drag the boat, because I feel like it's those players, when you have a turnaround and when you finally get over the hump, who have to lead the way.
Yeah, and, you know, it's going to be a really tough decision for, you know, whittling down four 20s into three spots, right? And
we've seen some future NHL players get dumped because the team doesn't choose them to be one of those three.
Right, and, you know, they find success elsewhere, right? And we even saw it this year, right? Drew Sim was coming back from an injury, and he ends up playing junior A hockey in the East Coast, and he's been having a heck of a year out there, right? And, you know, Zach Stringer, too, another good example, right? You know, the Pats able to pick up another 20-year-old defenseman, and decide that they don't need the 20-year-olds to be filled by one forward, so they'll dump Stringer and bring in that third 20-year-old defenseman to help round out the back end. But, you know, like, 20-year-olds and... I find it really interesting, too, when you find a team that has, like Medicine Hat, actually, that has a European that's a 20-year-old. So they fill two really important spots on the team with one player, right? And Bogdan's hot ass is that player on the back end for the Tigers, who's a good defenseman.
He's a difference maker.
And oh, yes, he is.
If you're going to use that 20-year-old in that European spot, you better be a difference maker. So kudos to them for thinking outside the box to have one guy in filling those two slots. Congratulations to Marianne Hedford from Bethune, who wins just over $1,000 on today's Chase the Ace with the Saskatchewan Rough Rider Foundation. Big thank you to all of our guests. Mike McEwen, congratulations on a job well done. He's back home in Winnipeg. John Hodge, Braxton Whitehead, Dante DiCaria, and everybody else who helped us put this Friday sports cage together down here at the Brandt Center. Don't forget, puck drop tonight just after 6:30. Dante DiCaria and the crew from... or I should say the pregame show's just after 6:30 from down here at the Brandt Center. Not a lot more chances, only two more home games after the game tonight. So enjoy this year's Pats while you can. That'll do it for the Friday Sports Cage. On behalf of everyone here, this is Brendan McGuire saying thanks for listening and good night from Regina.
Today's Sports Cage has come to a close. Miss a segment? Download or stream the podcast now at sportscage.ca. Get your sports straight from the source. 620 CKRM.